The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Okay, Andrew and Ruby, stay there. We played Captain Beaky before the break, and the comments on YouTube are great. First comment from a year ago. Classic. This kind of thing wouldn't sell nowadays, not with the competition of all that mass-produced teeny bopper shite and X Factor nonsense. Don't forget, it was this that we're talking about.
In my reckless hat, and when hissing zip picks up my trail, I'll just dash to him with my tail. Oh, a good idea, said Timid Toad. We'll hide a long way down the road.
Here we go.
I don't think that's the only reason why it wouldn't sell these days.
The reply to that is so true. What the hell has happened to music and talent? Music and talent. It was a huge song. I think Terry Wogan used to play that
today.
A lot. The late night alternative, Mondays to Fridays, 10 o'clock at night to 1 in the morning, with me, Ian Lee, and Catherine Boyle. A phone-in show, unlike any other phone-in show, in that you can call in about pretty much anything you want. It can be silly, it can be heavy, it can be frothy and light, or it can be dark and serious. We don't mind. Don't swear. Don't be libelous. That's it. If you phone up tonight, you'll speak to James. He will take your name and number, and we'll give you a call straight back. The phone number is 0344 499 1000. Ruby, stay there. You're going to be next. But before that, it's Andrew.
Good evening to you both. May I start with an opening monologue?
Yeah, sure, why the hell not? No one has.
Gosh, it's like BBC London.
Isn't it?
I know.
Go on.
I would like to hereby relinquish any claims I had on freebies to your shows. I know I'm not worthy of it, so there you go.
Okay.
Up your bum. I know I'm not worthy of it.
Wow, he's kicking off. Okay. And here's the thing.
The physical challenge.
He's waiting for us to go, oh, don't be so silly.
I can think of that.
Andrew, so as people know, we are screening the Bross documentary this tomorrow. I think there's two tickets left. If you want to go to ianlee.com/event, it's going to be a good old laugh. We've got about, I think it's about 60% our fans,
yeah,
and about 40% Brossettes.
Yeah.
Joe Pullman, the producer, is going to be there. He's going to do a Q&A afterwards. And Andrew, who, now where are you? Are you in Southend today or are you in Las Vegas?
Wherever you want. No, I'm in Vegas.
Okay. Andrew lives and works out in Vegas, said, I can get, which one is
Matt?
That's not true.
I can get Matt Goss to do
not how it happened.
Go on, remind me how it happened then.
It happened. I was called up to say I was going to go and see him, and I said about the swing version of one of his songs he does.
Yeah.
When will I be famous?
Said, yeah, that was it, yeah. And then you said, oh, you could do a video for us and introduce the show. So I thought, I'll try.
No, hang on, that's not how I remember
it. No, you came in all guns blazing saying you could get it.
That's what you did.
The next week, I'm listening to your show and I hear you dissing me about not being able to do it or something, calling me a chanter.
Here's the thing. He's done it. We have a video from, which one is it?
That's Matt Goss.
We have a video.
That's the one with the hair.
We have a video from Matt Goss, okay? And I'm going to play it now, okay? Dear listener, see if you can spot. You may not be able to hear it because the audio isn't very good. We'll talk about the video quality in a minute. 8-bit. Matt has lived in America for a long time, and regular listeners to this show will know that the Americans struggle with the name Ian. So whenever I send an email to an American, I write Ian with lowercase I's, I-A-I-N.
You know, like a teenage girl.
Yeah, because, well, anyway, just have a little listen.
Hello, everybody, I'm Matt Goss, and I would like to welcome everybody to Lane and Catherine's screening.
I am Matt Goss. I would like to welcome everybody to Lane and Catherine's screening. Let's just listen to the whole thing now, okay? This is, and I can't turn it any louder. This is as good as the quality is.
Hello, everybody. I'm Matt Goss, and I would like to welcome everybody to Lane and Catherine's screening at the Rabbit Hole. Sounds a little bit freaky to me. I don't know what it is, but I've been asked to give you a message. I want to send you my love. I'm about to go to bed now. I always sleep in a tuxedo. I'm a bit, apparently, according to Joel Perlman, I'm a little bit eccentric. But no, I'm actually going to do my show now and just send you my love. Have a lovely time.
So it's a lovely message.
He's a good man.
He's a good lad, right? And Andrew, you're a good man for getting it done. Right? And I don't mind the fact he says, Lane, that's very funny, okay? Because that's how Americans address me, and that's fine. I've made peace with that. Right, but here's the thing. The video quality
I know.
It's like, you know, I never forget, right, about 15 years ago, my father, no, about 10 years ago, my father-in-law is a cardiologist, right? He's a very well-respected cardiologist. And one Christmas, he got sent a present from an Indian gentleman whose life he had saved. And it was a video camera, right? This was 10 years ago. He got sent a video camera. And Peter was like, well, this is fantastic. It was one of those little silver ones that you flipped open and there was a screen and stuff like that. He said, this is great, but Ian, I can't get it to work. Can you get it to work? And so I fiddled around with it, right? And what it was a video camera, but it was a video camera you'd buy in an Indian market in Delhi, in that it didn't really do anything. It looked flash, but the technology inside it was kind of like the first video cameras you got on mobile phones, you know, pixelated, blocky and stuff. And I said to him, this is useless. It looks like Matt Goss found the video camera that I chucked out 10 years ago that was bought in a market in Delhi and has used that to film it. It's the quality, Andrew, is I don't think we can show it because look how pixelated it is on my
computer. Oh, I think we show it anyway. Look, the brossettes are going to be going nuts. They won't be able to see it anyway for jiggling about.
No, but here's the thing, right? We can't. That's how pixelated it is on my computer screen, right? You times that by 20, you're not going to be able to see it.
If we all squint, though.
You won't be able to see it.
Oh, come on, we got to.
No, we don't got. Look. You can't.
But I've been asked to give you a message. I want to send you my love. I'm about to go to bed now. I always sleep in a tuxedo. I'm a bit, apparently, according to Joe.
All right, we're gonna play
it,
Andrew.
We're playing it, man.
We're playing it, and we're playing it.
Good luck. You have to have a couple of drinks beforehand, and hopefully it'll all go into focus.
Hey, listen, man. But you're a very, very good man, and you're a good sport. And you know what? The next couple of shows you want to come to, your name's going to be on the door. I appreciate the effort you put in to get that, and it's a funny little video. So thank you, Andrew.
Thanks, Andrew.
You're a good man.
Sorry, what you're saying about the video camera you got in Delhi reminds me. I picked up a hard disk drive in a market in Shanghai a few years ago.
Oh yeah.
And I thought, okay, I'm a bit dubious. So is it going to work? It's got Samsung on the label. I thought, well, this looks the part. But I know these things. Let's just give it a try.
Yeah.
So this guy, very obligingly, very little English, and I spoke very little Mandarin, and he plugged it into the computer, and he went into like the my computer and said, yeah, it's got 2 terabytes available of storage. I thought, brilliant. It started about £50. I managed to get it down to about 30.
Good lads.
And I thought, I'm really doing well. Nice little bargain. Perfect. Went to use it when I was at home. Nothing would store on it.
Oh.
My next door neighbour at the time was a bit of a geek and could work his magic on stuff like this. And he tried it and couldn't get anything to do anything. And he took it apart and he brought it back to me. It all opened up and showed me inside. And all it is, the other side of the USB is a little microchip that tells your computer, yep, I've got 2 terabytes. But to make it feel like it's the genuine thing, inside it had a load of like metal nuts that are glued to the inside of the shell casing to give it some weight.
Genius.
So it's a load of empty nuts that are just glued into it.
Tell me about it, story of my life.
I know, I loved it. I loved it more than a 2 terabyte hard drive.
The Chinese are wonderful.
Shanghai in particular.
It was Shanghai
surprise. My sister...
Yeah,
used to be, she used to be cabin crew, and they used to know that there were places you'd go and you could get these most amazing fake things, you know, and you would get them in the, you know, proper packaging and everything. But they knew it was hooky as. It's probably very dodgy going and getting there as well.
Andrew, Andrew, you're a good man. I look forward to seeing you at the next time you pop along to one of our shows.
Yeah, because I did see my local area. I think it's a chain, that Handjobs place. There's some of those here in Vegas. I might go and give it a try.
I got a feeling there might be a slightly different. You go and get a hand job. You go to hand jobs and let them finish you off. Okay. 03444991000. Ruby, stay there. You will be next. This is the Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee and Catherine Boyle.
Uncut after hours conversation for the up all night generation. The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
03444991000. Good evening, Ruby.
Good evening, Ian and Kat.
Hi,
good evening, Ruby.
Ruby.
How are you doing tonight?
I've been up and down all day.
Yeah.
At this moment in time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, we go. You see. There we go. Fantastic. Yeah. Hold on to that. And it'll go again. And but you have to remember that it's 12:16 on a Friday night, Saturday morning. You felt all right.
Yeah, yeah.
And cling on to that. What have you done today? Anything exciting?
Well, when I woke up in the morning, I had that feeling of panic, not wanting to get out of bed.
Yeah.
But I did drag myself out of bed. I had a nice breakfast with my mum. A bit of a chat over a cup of coffee.
There you go.
That was nice.
Yeah.
And I got on with some paperwork and things that I needed to finish on the computer. And just self-reflection, that, and I, a little bit. And then I spoke to my best friend who I mentioned yesterday.
Yes.
That was nice. She made me laugh.
There you
go. Gave me some words of comfort. And it was nice, very pleasant.
There you go. And it's another day. You've done another day, you know. And
yeah.
You're heading in the right direction. I struggled to get up today, but I made myself get up around lunchtime and go. And there's a nice hill near me, about a little 10-minute drive away. So I went and I just go and sit on this hill. It's got a lovely view. And I just phoned up a couple of people. Did I phone you up from there, Boyle? I sent you a picture saying I'd got out. And I just sat there for a bit. And then when I felt like I was done, I went back home and went back to bed. And that was all right.
Yeah.
That's all right. We've got to do whatever it is we have to do to get by.
Yeah, it is sometimes the most simple things that give you that pleasure and motivation and just help you get through the day.
Yeah. What's this weekend?
This weekend, tomorrow, hopefully I'll go to my neighbour's house.
You know your neighbours?
Some of them.
This is insane.
Yeah.
Where do what kind of strange utopia do you live in?
Well, it wasn't always like this. These particular neighbours, they haven't lived on the street long, but we got very close within a short space of time, and they've got two lovely children, absolutely wonderful children.
Yeah,
and it's always a joy to be around them.
How old are the kids?
4 and no, sorry. Mine's gone blank.
That's okay, but they're young. They're young.
Yeah.
Yeah, go and play with the kids.
Five and under.
There you go. Go and play with the kids. That's what it's all about. That's the circle of life. That you cannot. It's very difficult to wallow. If you're playing with some kids, it wears off after a while. You know, if you've got them all weekend, it can be tough. 30 minutes with a couple of 5-year-olds, that's good for the soul.
Tell you something. Yeah. When my granddad died, my mum was devastated, but she came around and she'd just play with my kids for half an hour.
Yeah.
And because they didn't know what was going on and they didn't particularly care because they were so little,
it just
took her out of herself for a bit. And that's the point, isn't it?
Yeah. 30 minutes, everyone, they should prescribe it. 30 minutes with a couple of 5-year-olds and under. Boom, that's the soul taken out, spat on and polished up a little bit and then inserted gently.
It reminds you that there is loveliness and there is innocence in
innocence,
the world.
And purity. Yes. There you go, you see, that's what it's all about.
Well, it then, always puts a smile on my face.
If you've got a bit of that coming up, Ruby, then you're going to be all right.
Yeah.
This weekend.
I won't lie. Today and yesterday, I had thoughts that disturbed me a little. Disturbed me in the sense that I thought to myself, this person that I... Sorry to go back to the topic as yesterday, but this person that I got to know, I thought to myself, despite everything I know about them, that disgusted me. If they wanted me back, I would say yes.
Mm.
And I even considered... Should I beg them to take me back? I didn't want to think this way, but it came to me. But then I busied myself with something else. I went and had a glass of water. I texted my friend. And the thought went, like what you said yesterday really stayed with me.
You are not your thoughts. And it's okay to think that. It's okay to think, well, what happens if I beg them? And what happens if I offer to do this, this and this? It's okay to think that, but you don't actually have to act on it. And also, it doesn't mean that that is you. It doesn't mean that you are the type of person that would necessarily do that. It's just a thought. And you think, right, there's a thought. not going to act on that, so thanks very much, bye-bye. Yeah. And then just let it drift down the river.
The other thing is, Ruby, that it's fine, natural and perfectly okay for you to miss the feeling that that person gave you at one point.
Absolutely, yes. It's the feeling that I can't...
Yeah.
Well...
And that's what everyone wants. Yeah. Everyone wants to feel like that. It's magic.
Yeah.
But you can. You don't need to get it from that person because it wasn't... You know, it didn't turn out to be the right kind of thing. But
no.
That feeling was something, and that feeling is something that's not unique to that person.
Yeah, that's what's been so hard to get my head around, as in, will I ever get this feeling again? Is this person unique and special? But they're not really. And from what I found out later, like I was saying, they're not the kind of person that is respectful.
Yeah.
Towards women, the way in which they speak and treat women's not good at all.
And you deserve better than that. You deserve better than that, and you don't have to settle for it.
Yeah, even though with me, they put on this a gentleman act and completely charming. And even when they let the mask slip a little, and I had my doubts, I carried on because. I'm a lifelong people pleaser.
Mm.
And B, I'm so polite, I can never say no to anyone. And, well, C, because they made me feel a way that I felt I couldn't say no.
Yeah.
Because it had gotten so... Like I was falling deeper and deeper and deeper. And... I know on the surface it sounds trivial, just some guy I met online, we talked for a bit. But even though it sounds trivial, it was more than that. Like it's hard to explain.
I get it. We get it. We can hear in your voice, and we get it. Here's the thing. I was never very good at saying no, and I had to learn to do it. And once you learn to do it, it's so empowering being able... And I would do, like, jobs I didn't want to do, and I would go to places I didn't want to go to, and because it's easier just to say, yeah, sure. Hey, would you come and do that? Yeah, sure. Of course I will. People-pleasing, that's what it's all about. But can you get the phone, please, James? It's... learning to say no is an amazing thing. And you should kind of practice... saying no to people. So if you find yourself in situations like you're in a cafe, can I get a coffee? Yeah, sure. Do you want a cake with that? No, thanks. Just small things like that. Just, I don't know what situations would apply to you specifically, but just situations where you would normally say yes, just practice saying no. And watch, no one will think any less of you. No one will judge you. No one will kind of step back and go, oh my gosh, she said no, what a cow. No one cares. No one cares. It's amazing. Once you realise that, the freedom it gives you.
Yeah. I mean, with this person as well, eventually it was me that said no.
I was going to say, you did draw a line in the end because you felt that it wasn't the right... It wasn't right and it was getting further and further over that line.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and then... I knew it would be too difficult for me, despite their insistence that this and this will happen. I wasn't convinced because they weren't thinking of me.
Good for you. That takes an awful lot of strength, you know.
You've got this, Ruby. Like I said yesterday, I can hear an intelligent, spiritually beautiful, strong woman. And you got this, and it's going to be lousy for a little bit, and then it won't be quite so lousy, and then one day it'll be all right, and you'll go, oh, God, it's been all right today, and it'll get lousy again as soon as you remember, and then it'll be all right. You're going in the right direction, Ruby.
Thank you.
No, thank you. Thank you. We appreciate it. Have a good weekend and we'll speak next week, okay?
You as well. All right. I'll call you back.
Take care. Thanks very much. Bye-bye. Let's go to Start. Good evening, Start.
Hiya. Hi. I just wanted to say to Ruby,
yes.
I know how she feels with everything that's gone on because it happened to me as well in my past with my ex.
Mm.
I stayed with him for 5 years and he emotionally abused me, called me all the names under the sun, told me I was worthless, told me I would never find anybody better than him because nobody'd ever have me. And, he made my self-esteem that low I stayed with him because I actually started to believe him.
Yeah.
And then it got to a point where I was even pushing my family away. I was pushing everybody away because of the things that he was telling me. And he was making me that low. I was believing him, that my family didn't care about me and my friends didn't care about me. And it got to the point where I was completely on my own. Mm-hmm. And I was self-sufficient on him because he was taking all the money. He was gambling all the time. I'd never gotten nothing. You know, he'd literally take my bank card out of my purse, go and get the shopping money and go and gamble it away in the bookies and stuff like that. So I'd have to, like, constantly be asking people to borrow me money just to get some food in the house.
Yeah.
And it got to the point where I just clicked, and it was like, you know what? I don't need this in my life. I need something better. And I did. I turned around to him and I said, look, I can't do it no more. I've got to leave. And I left, and I stopped with a friend for a few months and managed to get myself a flat. And, you know, I lived in this flat for about 3 years on my own. I didn't have nobody around me, like, personally, if you know what I mean, like, sexually and stuff like that. I just thought, no, I need to bring myself back. I need to work on myself. And I did. And I worked on me and bringing the old person back and the old me back that he had pushed down. And when I did, I finally realised that there was people there that loved me and cared for me and wanted what was best for me. And I managed to find somebody that now treats me like a queen, you know. He'd do anything for me. He always tells me, it doesn't matter how much of a bad day I'm having, you know, with my depression and stuff like that, he'll sit there, and if he sees I'm having a bad day, he'll sit there and he'll talk to me about it, you know, and he's always complimenting me, telling me how beautiful I look and, you know, and things like that. And at first, when I first got with him, I wasn't sure how to take it because I'd never had that in my life before. I'd never had somebody in my life before that complimented me. I was always constantly going with the people that put me down and things like that. But now that I've actually realised that this person that is good for me, I know that my life is better the way it is. And it took me a while to get there, but I have got there. I mean, my depression and stuff is still bad because of my health, but he actually works with me and helps me with it instead of trying to use that against me.
There you go. Perfect.
And it's absolutely amazing. And I just want to let her know that, yeah, it's going to take a while for her to get there because of those feelings that she's got, but she will get there eventually, and when she does, it'll be the most amazing feeling ever to know that she's done it herself and actually brought herself back round.
Hey, nice one, Star. Thanks for sharing that.
No worries, you're welcome.
Cheers, my dears. Ta-ta. There we go.
Bye.
What nice listeners we got. We got the nicest listeners. Sloop Jombie.
Hey, 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 we're the Monkees. How you doing? Oh, not supposed to ask that. Hello, Ian. Hello, Kath.
Yes, sir. Sloop.
Listen, I wanted to tell you about a theory I heard to get your take on it.
Okay, good. I'm good.
And you've seen the film Pulp Fiction, right?
A long, long time ago, yes.
Well, there's a cut scene in the film that I saw the other day, and Uma Thurman films John Travolta on a high-8 camera, and she hits it with this theory, so I'm going to give it to you now. Yes. She says, there are two types of people in the world, Beatles people and Elvis people.
Yeah.
And although you can like both of them, you can't like them both the same, and at some point you have to choose.
Yeah.
And that's how you can divide people in the world into two camps. What's your thoughts on that?
I think Beatles and Elvis are a little bit too similar to differentiate, really.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I think you'd get a lot of people that would dig both. I mean, they're wrong, because Elvis sucks. We know that. Elvis is terrible.
Well, you sing Elvis yourself on the air.
Sorry?
You sing Elvis, don't you?
No, I sing Ian Lee. I sing Ian.
You sing Ian Lee, oh.
I sing Ian. Elvis sings Elvis. I sing Ian, which is...
What
which
about
is
Catherine?
I'm not an Elvis person. My sister is.
I just think a lot of people will say that they like the early Beatles and they like Elvis. I think I can see too much of a crossover between those acts. I think you're more likely to say you're either a Beatles person or Well, no, actually, why are we even debating some crappy Quentin Tarantino dialogue that he cut from his film?
You're not a Tarantino fan.
I think as a human being, he's a knob.
Well, yeah, you've got a point there.
I haven't seen Pulp Fiction.
Opinion.
I haven't seen Pulp Fiction since it came out. I bought it on Hooky VHS in Camden Market for a fiver, really bad quality. And I watched it, loads of times, and I used to really love it. But that would have been,
in about 1995.
Yeah, I was going to say I was 23, so 95, 96.
I had the poster in my bedroom at university.
And I've not seen it since then. And I wonder if it would stand the test of time. Zed's dead, baby.
It's a great film. That's what I said. That's why I watched it the other day. I just thought I'd have to ask Ian about this.
Reservoir Dogs is a good film. Right? Cause it's like brilliant. A play. So it's a play. Basically, it's a play filmed in front of a camera. Right?
Well, I heard it's ripped off from a Japanese film, but that's
beside the point. Of course it is. He rips everything off, right? Kill Bill? Yeah. Boring.
Yeah.
Jackie Brown? Boring.
No, I like Jackie Brown.
Yeah, you're wrong. It's boring.
That's right.
It's a boring film.
Sit your raggedy ass down.
Boring.
My favourite, From Dusk Till Dawn.
Right.
Catherine, that's my favourite as well.
Yeah.
He wrote True Romance too. Have you seen that?
Yeah, boring.
I don't really remember a lot about it.
Inglourious Basterds.
Well, you said boring. Even the bit with Elvis in the mirror talking to him.
Boring.
I like you, Clarence.
Inglourious Basterds is, I've not seen, but it looks boring. Every other film he's ever done since looks boring. He's doing a film about Charles Manson. It looks boring. The guy's a joke.
How can about Charles Manson be boring? It should be great.
Yeah, the guy's a joke. The guy's a joke.
Are you just worried about how he's going to portray Dennis Wilson or something?
No, I just don't want to go and watch a movie about Charles Manson directed by Quentin Tarantino. Oh,
can I just say one quick thing before I go in there? You know the Beach Boys film? Is it Love and Music or something?
Love and Mercy.
This guy calls up. He's called Sloop John Bean. He doesn't know the name of the Brian Wilson movie. Wow.
I like the Beach Boys.
And he's talking to me about what films I should and shouldn't like. Wow, this guy's a joke. Yes, mate.
Is it
Love and Music. Yeah, go on. Love and Music. Yeah. Named after the Brian Wilson song, Love and Music, from his first solo album, Brian Wilson. Love and Music. Yeah, go on. Love and Music.
Yeah, the film.
Yeah, called Love and Music. Yeah?
Love and Music. Yeah, I got that.
Yeah, it's Love and Music. And it's named after the song, Love and Music, from the first Brian Wilson album.
I've not heard that one.
Yeah. Oh, right. Okay, Sloop John B. Yes. It's a great film.
Well, there you go. All right, I'll have a look and I'll let you know.
Thanks, man.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio. So if you want to join me
for a while. Okay, I'm bored of that. 03444991000. Here it is. A primary school has been forced to, although they've said that they haven't, so I don't quite know. But this is, anyway. A primary school has been forced to abandon anti-homophobia lessons following protests from Muslim parents. Parkfield School in Birmingham has said it will ditch the No Outsiders classes until after Easter. Until after Easter, while it consults with parents. Parents shouldn't have the power to do that. They shouldn't have the power to change a school's curriculum in that way. Because of religious belief. You can't do that. You shouldn't be able to do that. Shame on these parents. Shame on these Muslim parents. The school's assistant head, Andrew Moffat, who is himself gay. So what? Why do we even need to know that?
Like he's pushing his own agenda, is the suggestion there.
Why do we need to know that he's gay? The whole point of it is it doesn't matter what you are. So who cares if this guy is gay? The gays are trying to recruit. They're trying to brainwash normal kids and recruit them and then have sex with them when they're children because we know that gays are paedophiles. The school's assistant head, Andrew Moffat, who is himself gay, created the lessons to promote tolerance of same-sex couples and other minorities, but strict parents said they objected because homosexuality is against their religion. Tough. While others said children were too young for such matters. Tough. On Friday, parents said around 600 Muslim children were withdrawn from Parkfield for the day in protest. Mr. Moffat has also been threatened and the school was daubed in graffiti.
God. They don't need lessons.
This is exactly why they need to have the lessons, right? And I know there are a load of Christian families that are the same. The kids in this story are Muslim, but if you have a religious belief that looks down on anybody for whatever reason, then you're a bigot. You're a bigot. Flipping LBC, they keep getting Christian Concern on, who are a tiny, tiny, rabid minority of extreme right-wing Christians. Like, they're tiny, tiny little organisation. But as long as things like the BBC and LBC give them credence, then people will think they are a serious organisation. They're not. They're a tiny bunch of idiots. Mr. Moffat has also been through from 2020, all primary schools will teach gay and transgender issues as part of compulsory relationships education. Listen, someone phone up and give me one good reason. One good reason to leave me. I'll give you 12 good reasons to stay. Anyway, they're bigots. I don't care, the Muslim or whatever. You wouldn't speak like that to Muslims. I am. They're bigots. All those parents that pulled their kids out are bigots. And you're creating problems and you're creating division. Imagine, okay, imagine, and yeah, it's slightly different. But there are similarities, right? Oh, so my kids' school, they're teaching why it's okay to be a Muslim. No. Pulling my kids out. Not having that.
You do get some idiots doing stuff like that when there's like a mosque visit.
Not having
and stuff.
I'm not having my kids learn it's okay to be a Muslim. I'm not having it because my boys are C of E. That's the only way. C of E.
Yeah.
A church that was made up so that a bloke could get divorced. It's nonsense, man. Yeah, okay, kid, Muslim. Okay, I know it's slightly different. People online going, well, that's not the same. Well, I know, but it's tolerance, man. It's tolerance of difference and being able to empathise with other people who have different outlooks on life, whether it's for religious reasons. You know, and listen, we defend Muslim people on, you know, whenever there's like a terrorist attack and people start doing the usual, Islam is a... Is it religion of violence? Listen, we defend Muslims, defend Christians, we do defend them. But in this case, these suckers are wrong. These 600, the parents of these 600 kids are wrong. 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 Let's go to Mark. Good evening, Mark.
Good evening.
Good evening, Mark. What have you got for us tonight?
Right, when you're on about food, when you're on about Vesta curries and things and mad sandwiches and
yes,
that.
Yes, yes.
I remember when I was younger, when I was about 8 or 9, my mother used to sit down on a Saturday night and then it was only 3 channels. You had BBC One, BBC Two and ITV and watch the film, 9 o'clock film, and she'd have an ideal milk sandwich.
She'd have a what? Say that again.
An ideal milk sandwich. What's remember the tins of ideal milk?
Ideal milk? No, I don't remember that. I remember. Is that like
carnation.
Condensed milk?
Yes, yes, yes. You sit down with 4 slices of bread and a tin of ideal milk and make sandwiches out of them.
Do you know what? Yeah, my mum used to do that, but with, I don't think it was called ideal, but yeah.
My gran used to boil up carnation milk in the tin and it comes out like caramel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you can make caramel out of it, yeah.
I can sup that stuff, and also, if I'm feeling decadent, get me a can of Tip Top. Get me a can of Tip Top. I'm having it. Listen, you and me, Mark, we're going to get a couple of cans, a couple of tinnies of Tip Top. We're going to put 2 holes in. You need 2 holes in for it to come out. And we're just going to sit there and we're going to sup that good milky goodness like a couple of guys.
Tip Top.
Yeah, my mum used to do the milk sandwiches. Yeah, yeah. Go on.
And another one, personal favourite of mine, get 2 nice thick sliced bread, toast it.
Yeah.
Get some nice... cheddar cheese, not too thinly sliced or too thickly sliced.
Okay.
Put loads of strawberry jam on the top. Oh, have you ever tried that?
What is this? Is this some kind of sick fantasy masturbation phone-in? What are you talking about, you deviant?
Sweet and sour?
Sweet and sour? Cheddar cheese and strawberry jam? What, are you stroking one out now, you pervert?
Oh,
this is a wind-up. This is a wind-up, Catherine.
You haven't lived. You haven't lived if you haven't had toast with cheddar cheese and strawberry jam on the top. Sweet and sour. You have cheese with fig jelly, right?
Well, that's like jam.
No, but try strawberry jam.
I'm sticking up for you.
Jam,
I'm sticking up for you. I mean, yours is kind of the low-rent version of this, like, posh fig chutney thing.
Do your flies up. Put it away. We're not interested. People like you, you're like the guy on the front page of The Star that I wasn't going to talk about, the jockey dwarf caught with his pants down at an arcade.
Oh, no.
You're worse than that, dude. Good night. No. Good night. I hereby cancel our tip-top drinking session. Sorry you had to listen to that. I should have dumped that, guys. That was disgusting. Sweet and sour.
Jammy cheese.
No, I'm not having that, mate. I'm not having that. Let's go to Jerry. Good evening, Jerry.
Hello.
Hello, Jerry.
Hello. How are you?
I'm fine, Jerry. I've got some bad news. Unfortunately, someone on Digital Spy doesn't like it when you phone him because he can't understand you. So I have made the decision. I've made the decision to ban all disabled people from calling in, Jerry. And that's your fault.
You should apologise to him.
Apologise to him, and we'll translate for you.
What's your name?
Let me find the guy's name. Hang on a second.
We he won't be listening now. We'll have switched off because of you, obviously.
Hang on a minute. Let me find this guy's name. Hang on. Calm down. Calm down. I'm finding it. Here we go. Guy is radio tuner. I haven't listened for a while. I tuned in Monday and Tuesday. This was last week. I enjoyed the stand-ins. I tuned in last night. The first caller I heard was Jerry. I know the man has problems, but it was an instant switchover. So, Jerry, you apologise to Radio Tuner on the Digital Spy Forum, please.
Hang on, Jerry. Give me 10 minutes. I'll come back with a written statement. Apologies. Give me 10 minutes. I'll ring back with a full written statement.
He's going to ring back with a... All right, Jerry, we'll speak to you in 10 minutes. He's going to ring back with a statement, Radio Tuner. But I have decided... I am banning all disabled people from calling in. It's just not worth the hassle. They're not worth their tiny minority. Also, it's not normal. We know that. They're teaching disability rights at school. No, they're not. Kids, we're having a day off. You will not learn that it's normal. 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number. Imagine if someone had never listened to this show and that was the first bit they heard. Me telling a man with Parkinson's he's banned because people can't understand him.
Welcome, stranger.
Good evening, George.
Good evening.
Good evening.
You didn't happen to hear my call to Dutton Adebayo this morning, did you?
Yes, I did.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
Oh, that was funny, because I told his producer that you told me to pee off, and he listened back to it. I think it would be lovely if you gave Dutton a call tomorrow morning.
I'll decide when I'm going to call Dutton, George, but thank you.
No, it'd be nice to hear you having a conversation.
It will happen when I don't have to get up early one morning. I've already planned this. It will happen when I don't have to get up early one morning and he has something on which I wish to speak.
How good. You could tell him why you told me to pee off.
Well, no, I'm not going to phone up. Here's the thing. I'm not going to waste my call to Dutton Adebayo, a great broadcaster. I'm not going to waste it talking about you. We're not going to mention you at all.
Yeah, well...
Why would we?
I don't know. You've conjured a few memories for me tonight already. Okay. Talking about Jonathan Ross. Yes. I was a guest on his...
I don't think we mentioned Jonathan Ross.
Yes, you did.
Paul Ross.
Sorry?
Paul Ross.
No, you mentioned Jonathan Ross's TV show.
No, we didn't.
You didn't?
Nope.
Well, I was a guest on Paul Ross's TV show as well. And Frank Boff's and others.
Boff shamed a sports presenter.
Yeah, and conjured memories of the black box in Belfast. Yes. I'm just looking at a poster now. I did several gigs, sort of 7 weeks running.
Yeah.
In Belfast.
I'm guessing it's something like the 27th anniversary since no one turned up or something, is it?
No. I was holding a postal ballot. I was speaking on behalf of the Make Politicians History Party, and people were taking part in a ballot to make politicians history. And this was the last gig at which the ballot would be counted. And I'm just looking at the poster.
It's a great venue. I'm looking forward to going back there in July.
It is. It had just opened. Yep.
We're going to close it.
It was the Rocky Rolling Rainbow Road Show, 06-06-06, Universal Wonder Day. Joined the
snappy title. There's one thing you got on your side is snappy titles. I've often thought that.
Joined the Rainbow Revolution in the Black Box, Hill Street Cathedral Quarter, Belfast, where the result of the MPH postal ballot will be counted and declared.
Okay.
06-06-06. Another revolution the party to end all political parties.
This is why you don't get on other radio shows, because this is boring.
It's not boring.
It is. You're just reading a 13-year-old poster out.
Yeah, but it's a good story.
You haven't told us a story. Don't read the poster. Tell us the story. The poster's boring.
The poster's boring.
Yeah, George, trust me, right? I'm driving a radio show that I've got to keep entertaining. You reading a poster is boring.
Okay. But the poster ends up 060606, the end of days.
You're still reading the poster, it's boring. Tell me the story.
The story was we conducted this postal ballot over...
There we go.
Over several weeks, and some thousands of people voted to make politicians history.
Well, I know, because we don't have politicians anymore, so it worked.
No, we're still making. We're still campaigning to make politicians history. I mean, they are our servants. They're not going to tell us that they're redundant. We have to tell them that they're redundant, okay. And we will tell them they're redundant.
Okay, well, you keep telling them that then.
Do
it.
I'm trying to do it.
Do it.
It's all.
Do it then. Don't tell me. I don't care. Tell them.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I really don't understand you.
I tell you what, George, I'm finding these calls really, really boring. Just boring, man. My job is to try and keep this show as entertaining as possible. And I just, you know, the last couple of calls, you phoned up to talk about other people's radio shows and then you've read a poster. I don't know what I'm supposed to do, man.
Well, I'm just an old man trying to start a peaceful revolution.
But you're winding me up.
Why am I winding you up?
Because you're annoying me.
But I don't know. I just...
Because you're arrogant and boring.
You keep calling me arrogant.
You're very arrogant. You're one of the most arrogant callers we've ever had.
I'm very self-deprecating.
No, you're not. You're very self-obsessed. You're a narcissist.
I'm not a narcissist.
You're very self-obsessed.
You misjudge me totally.
You cannot listen to others and take on board the criticism.
Of course I can.
No, well, you don't. You never have. You never have in any of the calls that I've been involved in.
I don't know why. I don't know why you want to criticise me.
Because you're not listening. I've told you why I want to criticise you. Don't want to. I want to be able to enjoy these calls, but they're boring. And my job is to make an entertaining show.
I'm trying to provoke thought.
But you're not, though. You're reading a poster and telling me about a radio show you were on 22 hours ago. That's on another station.
Okay, well, what about John's Gospel, which strongly suggests that Jesus was gay?
Now we're talking. Gay Jesus. Now we're in. Yes. Give us the gay Jesus facts.
Well, Jesus says to his disciples, if you want to follow me, you have to leave your wives. And then he gave them one commandment. I command you to love one another.
There we go.
And then John declares himself as being the disciple that Jesus loved.
There we go. Perfect. We got. Now that's interesting.
Yes. Well. Good. I'm glad. I've put something that interests you.
Okay. All right. Listen. Well, thanks for the call, George. Tapes are in the post.
Tapes are in the post. No, they're not. You said you forgot them.
Yeah, it was a joke, George. Tapes are in the... This is the thing. You can't... Every time I say something, I'm instantly called a liar.
No, you say I don't listen. I heard you say...
It was a joke! They're in the post!
Oh, good.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Every time I end up getting so wound up. The most frustrating caller ever! 03444991000. This is Talk Radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
03444991000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. The switchboard is empty for the first time this evening. I was thinking after I found George's calls very frustrating recently. Because I like a bit of conversation. I shout a little bit. It's a bit of theatre. It's a little bit of theatre. But with George, it really winds me up. Because I like a bit of... First of all, it's our show, right? Yours and mine, Catherine, right? Mm-hmm. So we're kind of the hosts and we have to... You're the producer as well. And we kind of have to make it as interesting and as bouncy or whatever as possible, okay? And we don't always get it right. Of course we can't. I'm doing 15 hours of improvised theatre a week, right? It's not like other radio shows where they have loads of guests lined up, or they have, you know, really strong topics, and it's not that show. It's a very, you know what the show is. It's very ramshackle. It's very off the cuff, off the hoof.
Both.
Are we really? It's kind of
on the hoof.
It's on the hoof. Off the cuff, it's spontaneous. You know, we have a few kind of stories written down from the papers, but literally, when I grab the story, I've got a dozen stories written down. They're not very good ones today, but I don't read the stories. I just see the headline and go, oh, that might be quite good, and jot it down. Sometimes we read them and they're not very good. So we don't always get it right. And I'm sure you can understand with 15 hours of improvisation a week, if half of it is good, that's not bad odds. And I think we do more than half. I think maybe we're getting like 80% a week is good. And the rest is up and down. But sometimes it goes. But it's our show, right? So of course we dominate the conversation. But there has to be a conversation. And there is no conversation with George. Wasim, stop phoning us up. Wasim is banned. Just keeps phoning up. Every night he phones up. Like 30 times a night.
Is that Wasim who's told us at least four times yes. He's never phoning again?
He phones up about 30, 50 times a night. He flashes on the screen for 5 seconds and puts the phone down. It says by your name, Wasim, you're not coming on the air. So stop it.
But thanks for listening. He's not listening, though. He's on the phone.
Counts. It still counts. Still counts as the figures. So I don't know. You know, I have... I've looked death in the eye this last week, in the last 10 days, literally looked it in the eye. Not my death, but I've looked it in the eye. And the conclusion I've come to, I've been reminded of, this don't matter. None of this matters. This don't matter. Right? This radio show don't matter. Okay. My written off car don't matter. Right. The radio doesn't matter. None of this matters. If I lose this job tomorrow, it don't matter. Something will happen. You know, none of this matters. This isn't important what we're doing, Catherine. Some people say, well, no, it is important because you help people and that guy. No. This isn't important. All we're doing here is filling in time until we die. That's it. That's all this show is. That's all radio is. It's all television is. It's all movies is. It's just to fill in time until we die. And I'd forgotten that. And I was starting to take this a little bit too seriously and a little bit... It doesn't matter. And if tomorrow my boss phones up and says, well, Ian, it's been a great run, but we're not going to renew your... OK, thanks very much. I appreciate you letting me come in and play. It don't matter. It doesn't matter. I mean, you know. So I think that when...
Boss, if you're listening, it does matter to me. I've not got quite as many...
No. We're a team, boss. If I go... She goes.
Seriously, I can.
If I go, she goes.
Make coffee.
I've got a few quid in the bank at the moment, so I'm all right.
I haven't.
So it doesn't matter. Something the universe will provide.
Will you?
The universe. No. Okay, I cannot.
Well,
do
the universe
that.
Hasn't got a great track record with me at the moment.
Well,
so.
Okay. How have you been financially the last 15 years?
Managing.
And that's it. That's all we can ask for. It will always be all right. Trust me, the universe will provide for you. I guarantee it. Once you have faith, once you hand it over...
Do you know what we really need?
Yeah, go on. Did you just fart?
No.
Yes, you did.
What is this?
She went, do you know what we need?
No, I didn't.
Did you hear that, dear? If you're listening on DAB, 0344 499 1000, did you just hear Catherine go, you know what we need? and she dropped her guts.
That didn't happen. That was you.
No, it wasn't.
Was it you?
No, I swear it on my life.
It wasn't me. I swear on your life.
I can, but I'm holding in.
On my life, on my kids' lives, I
didn't fart. Dear listener, 0344 499 1000, did you just hear... I'm trying to be spiritual and wise. She's cutting the cheese.
I am not.
She's passing air through poo.
No cheese was cut.
Go on.
What I was going to say we need a bank of a zillion wonders.
No, we
don't have to do anything for that.
None of this matters, guys. None of this None of this matters. Let's go to Mungo.
Hello.
Hello, Mungo.
Yeah, a bit confused, but before I ask the question, you said that you stared deaf in the eye.
Yep.
What colour eye?
It was very dark.
Really?
Yeah. No, I did. I'm not going to go into any more detail, but yeah, I've looked it in the eye.
No. Colour's good. Why is Dennis Norden calling up your show and calling himself Frank George? What's with that?
Because, as we all know, Dennis Norden faked his death because he just couldn't find any more funny clips of people swearing, and he was aware that those clips were getting too self-aware. So he faked his own death, created this character of Rainbow George, and he phones us from time to time for a little bit of bants. Classic bants. Classic from beyond the grave bants.
Okay, well, yeah, that can make sense.
Yep.
And on the kids and gayness thing.
Yes, kids and gayness. Yes.
Yeah, kids and gayness. I think maybe it's probably wrong. Maybe because it's gay. See what I did there?
Oh, okay. So that's the third joke you've done, and all three were crap, Mungo. Absolutely awful. But well done. Thanks very much for your call. It's appreciated. You filled in 2 minutes of airtime. Filled in. So we're 2 minutes closer to death, thanks to Mungo.
You blame me for cutting the cheese. That was verbal cutting of cheese.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
03444991000. Kind of retweeting sort of both sides of the stuff I'm getting. I'm getting kind of abuse from Jackson fans, as I knew I would, which is fine, which is cool. And I'm getting people who are sharing, you know, rather intimate stories. So thank you for both of those. Thank you for both sides. And I'm just kind of retweeting them. I'm not really. I'm going to read that out. Okay. I'm kind of not really engaging. And normally we wouldn't have Twitter open, but I just think it's quite interesting. I'm allowed to read this. So I'm going to read it as it's written. I'd rather not say this on air. I'm assuming this is from a guy. But I was abused by my sister when I was little. Happened repeatedly for a couple of years. I never said a word to anyone until I told my current girlfriend when she demanded to know why I stopped speaking to her. Oh, to the sister, I'm guessing. Then I told my best friends too. I can fully understand why these lads have come out and said what they said. It's like a ton of bricks being lifted off of you. Thank you, Anonymous. Anonymous.
I used to live with someone who had been abused, along with a number of other people, girls in her class, by a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And they were taken on sort of school holidays, and he put his special girls in one room, and he would, you know, they were prepubescent girls.
Yep.
And he would put his hands down their tops and stuff. There was nothing there, but touch them inappropriately, and there's all kinds of stuff going on.
Mm.
They eventually got the courage to complain, and it went to court, and the judge told them that this was something they'd made up on a board in the playground.
Yep.
That happened in the 1980s.
Yep. Well, the treatment of our kids in the 70s and 80s is abysmal. And you know what? I think we'll probably look back at this period and go, oh, man, how did we let that one slide? Anyway. So the big story of the day, of course, is... there's a phone call all over. The big story of the day is Halle Berry's had a tattoo done on her back. That's not the big story, right? The big story is... She's topless while she's cooking a fry up.
Oh, that's going to spit terribly.
That is terrible. She's displaying, she's got like vines up her spine, and she's illustrating it by, well, she's got an egg. So she's got a saucepan in one hand. We've got a back to us. Saucepan in one hand, an egg in the other, and she's leaning over a cooker. The
technique's all wrong as well. That's going to go everywhere.
That is going to... Here's the thing, guys. Always wear a top when you're doing a fry-up.
Where are the roots of that thing?
Upper A. She's best known... I always feel sorry for Halle Berry. Listen to me feeling sorry for the multimillionaire actress Halle Berry.
You should be all right.
But I always feel that she never quite got a fair crack of the whip. That once she got... And I get it. This is Hollywood and women, right? But the once she kind of got past a certain age... Because I think she was great. She did a really, really good film. Can't think what it was. I always thought she was a really good actress, better than she was probably given credit for. Right? I mean, stunningly beautiful, obviously. But I thought she was a really, really talented actress. And she kind of had like a couple of big films. I always thought being... Then she did the Bond girl and the Catwoman and a couple of other films. And then she sort of just disappeared. I couldn't name the last film that Halle Berry was in. And I thought I always thought she was a really good... She did a really... Was it Monster she was in? Was that what she was in? The film called Monsters Ball? It was Monsters Ball. Monsters Ball. That was it. Monsters Ball that she was in. Which I've seen, but I can't remember it. Anyway, she's best known. This is the big story. She has got tats. She's best known for her fearless film roles from gun-wielding Bond girl to superhero in a latex cat suit. Well, she wasn't a superhero. She was a supervillain. So get your facts right, Jennifer Ruby, senior showbiz correspondent. But now Halle Berry has proved she's as daring as ever at 52 by showing off a new tattoo that reaches from her nape
to her
down to the bottom of her spine.
You're assuming.
Would you say reaches from her nape? Would you call it her nape?
Or the nape of her neck.
Would you not say the nape of the neck?
Yeah.
You wouldn't call it the nape.
Nape. No.
You wouldn't call it the nape.
No.
What is the nape? Like, it's like a little dimple.
I guess
I imagine it's a dimple.
I think it probably means base, actually.
Well, base
the
is...
nape of the neck. If you have to specify what it is, it's not...
Well, hang on,
there
can't
be... There must be a nape elsewhere.
Well, it can't be... Nape can't be the base, because that's the top of the neck. That's not
the top
base.
Of your neck's what goes into your head, isn't it?
So what? I don't know what you're saying!
The nape is the back of the neck.
You said the base of the neck... Are you standing by the word base? Because that's
well,
what
base,
you said.
I think
because I'm all about the nape. You said the nape is the base, but then you pointed to the top of the neck, and it's talking about the top
there,
of the
neck. Your nape.
Yeah, the nape.
No.
That's not the
that's
base.
Where
you said base.
Right. Where I'm pointing,
yeah.
that's not even nearly... That's nearly my neck, but it's not my neck.
It's not the base. You said
it's it's the base. It's where you plant your neck.
Okay. All right. Do you know, I don't want to talk to you at the moment. I want to talk to my good friend Alex, who's in Spain. Good evening, Alex, in Spain.
What's the nape of the neck?
You get what you deserve, mate.
The nape of the neck. What is the nape of the neck? Yeah.
It's talking to the radio.
This is, we're good. Listen to us. This is good quality radio. Our job here is safe. This is a safe job. It's Hartley Brewer and Wright.
It's that little spot.
And Holmes that need to watch out. Our job is safe. Listen to us. He's arguing.
The radio.
Hello, Alex.
What goes into your head,
innit? Isn't it? It's what goes into your head, isn't it? And their next, what's going into your head, isn't it? Hello, Alex.
Ealing doesn't know what the nape of the neck is. Oh my God.
Well, Alex doesn't know how to work a phone call or have a conversation
or drink water.
Yes, man. Turn your radio off, Alex. Come and join us.
It's a certain point.
Going.
It's a certain point, dude.
Alex,
it's like Gogglebox, but thicker.
Here's the thing: he's talking to us on the radio, but he could actually be talking to us in real life. Gogglebox, but thicker.
Ian, you don't understand.
You don't understand how to stay sober. Listen, turn.
Hello.
Hello.
There we go.
What is
please turn the radio off, Alex. Otherwise, I'm going back to the Halle Berry tattoo story. Hello?
Pardon?
Hello, Alex?
Yes?
Could you turn the radio off, please, mate? And then we'll put you through to Ian.
All right, hang on. One sec.
Oh, God. Krypton factor.
Okay, you've got 25 minutes to switch the radio off.
It's an automatic lock-in. Let's leave him.
Hello, Alex.
I've done it.
Well done. Congratulations. I'm going to put you through to Ian now.
Okay, thank you. What?
Let's go to Alex in Spain. Good evening, Alex.
Hello.
Hello, is that Alex?
Yes.
I'm going to put you through to Ian now. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, just wait on the line and we'll put you through in a second.
Thank you.
Right, let's go to Alex in Spain. Good evening, Alex.
Hello.
Alex, are you ready to speak to Ian?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to put you through in a second. Just stay there.
Okay. La 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 la.
Right, let's go to Alex in Spain. Good evening, Alex.
Hello.
Alex, are you ready to speak to Ian?
Yes.
I'm going to put you through in a second, mate. Just stay on the line.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
La, 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 la.
Hello, is that Alex?
Yes.
Hello, you're through to Ian Lee's show. Can I just pop you on hold and I'll put you through just as soon as I can, all right?
Pardon?
I'm just going to put you on hold to speak to Ian. Is that all right?
Why?
Didn't you want to speak to Ian Lee?
Yes.
Okay, just hold the line. I'll put you through as soon as I can.
Okay. Thank you.
Let's go to Alex in Spain. Good evening, Alex.
Hello?
Alex, is it Ian you want to speak to?
Yes, please.
I'm just going to put you on hold. If you stay there, we'll come to you as soon as we can. A bit busy on the phones tonight, OK?
Can I ask
put it,
why?
Putting you on hold.
Yeah.
Hello, Alex. Sorry for the delay. We will get to you just as soon as possible. You okay to hold?
Yes.
Oh, you're
yeah,
a good one.
Of course.
Thanks very much.
Well, thank you. Problem is, I forgot what I was going to talk about now. Oh, what was it? The Michael Jackson thing, that's.
Hello, TalkSport, can I help you?
Pardon?
This is TalkSport. Do you want to speak to Jason and Andy?
TalkSport?
Yeah, you're through to TalkSport. You want to speak to the sports bar guys? Did you see
them? No, I wanted to speak to
Did you see the match
Ian.
Tonight? Did you see the match tonight?
Between who?
Between Manchester and Liverpool.
Was it Manchester City or Man U?
Okay, sorry, did you see the match? Do you want to speak to Andy and Jason on TalkSport?
Can I ask you your name?
You're Alex, yeah?
Yeah, I am. Do you really... Can I ask you a question?
You said...
Just quickly.
A bit busy, because we're taking a lot of calls.
Do you really believe what you thought you knew?
Okay, I'm going to put you on hold, then we'll put you through to Andy and Jason on the sports bar, okay?
Give me your name first.
Thanks very much.
Please. Your name... Oh, you son of a gun. Slippery as a salmon.
Oh, I think he's gone.
Hello?
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 Hello? Oh, I can't see him on this line. Alex, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, thank goodness. You're through to Talk Radio. I'm going to put you through to Ian in just as soon as I can. It's really busy. I'll be as fast as I can. Are you okay to hold?
Yeah, sure.
Thanks very much.
You're through to LBC, London's biggest conversation. What would you like to say, caller?
Pardon?
You're through to LBC, London's biggest conversation. What would you like to say to Tom Snorbrick?
Who?
Hello?
Hello?
You've called LBC. I'm assuming you want to speak to Tom Snorbrick about Brexit?
No, who's Mike Snorbit?
I don't know who Mike Snorbit is, but Tom Snorbrick is the host on LBC right now. What would you like to say to him?
Snorbrick?
OK, I'm going to have to put you on hold.
What? All right. I've got you. Come on, then. It's Lee. Like, what was he called? I can't remember. The Swordsman. Hello?
Hello, Talk Radio. Can I take your name, please?
Pardon?
Hello, you're through to Talk Radio. Did you want to speak to Ian Lee?
I don't know at the minute. What's LBC?
Sorry?
What's LBC?
I'm really sorry, we're so busy. Can I take your name and I'll put you through to Ian as soon as I can?
Yeah, look, I'm sorry. I don't mean to waste your time. I don't want to do that.
No, that's fine. You're not wasting my time. What's your name, please?
I wanted to talk to Ian.
That's fine.
Because I got sent to a website.
Okay, what's your name, please?
Lee.
Okay.
Alex. No, Alex. That's it, yeah.
Is it Lee or Alex?
Alex. That's the one.
Okay, we'll go with Alex, Lee. Thanks very much.
I don't really understand what's going on. I'm not on the radio. Hello? Hello?
Hello, let's go to Alex in Spain. Good evening, Alex.
What?
Can you keep your radio off, please, Alex? We're going to put you through on air any second now, and we just need to make sure that your radio's switched off. Is that okay?
Pardon?
Yeah, we're going to put you through any second now. We just need to make sure that your radio's switched off. Ian's going to come to you in a second. Is that okay, Alex?
Yeah, but hold on.
Okay,
it's
thank
not
you.
It's a radio. It's a computer on the internet. Oh my God. Hello? Hello?
You have reached the voicemail box of 2135903. At the tone, please record your voice message. When you are finished recording, you may hang up or press pound for more options.
Hello and goodbye. I don't know who you are. And stay away from my goddamn bank account. It's online, but it's protected by VPN. So, is this like a test or something?
For brand new customers, press 1. For existing customers, press 2. For existing customers, press 2.
Excuse ya, tío.
Sorry, I didn't understand you.
Hello, you're through to Talk Radio. Who's that, please?
It's Lee.
Hello, Lee. Didn't you get on air?
Hello. Pardon?
Didn't you get on air?
Can I get on air?
Didn't you already do that? I thought I put you through ages ago.
Oh, don't tell me that.
Well, we, I think...
Hang on a second. Sorry, just a moment.
Did we speak to someone calling already?
Pardon?
Just a second.
Pardon?
Okay, all right. Okay, Lee, if you just hang on for me, I'll put you through just as quick as I can, all right? Just as soon as other Lees stop talking.
Hang on. Hey, 1 second, please. Oh, man.
Welcome to a very mature experience.
You must be over 18 and have the bill payer's permission to access this service. Calls are recorded. Calls to this service cost 36 pence per minute plus access charge. Service provided by...
What? Hey, you what? Gonna put on some tube that you recommended, Ian Lee. Oh. Pardon?
Are you ready for a live sex chat? Press the star button on your phone to speak live to the woman you just heard. To move on to the next one, dial 1. To hear this one again, dial 2. Or dial 9 for more options.
Hello, darling. My name's Jane, and I'm a mature woman. I still love sex. And
I've got to be honest. Oh, my God. I can't remember nothing.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
03444991000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. You can give us a call about dumb stuff as well, guys. You know how this works. We sit here and we just talk stuff, and you can call in about absolutely anything you want. In fact, if you're a new listener, it's very rare that we start the show off by actually asking a question. Imagine how old-fashioned of it. Why was everybody tonight in London driving like a dick? Everybody. Listen, I am super... After the crash last week, and I had to go and give a statement today, which was horrific. But after the crash last week, I am now the best driver on the road. I am super super sensitive, super aware. This new car has got like really cool cruise control, so I'm setting my speed 2 or 3 miles an hour below the limit. If that's appropriate, some bits of the set road, I'm going even slow. Yeah, I'm super hyper aware after being in one of the most horrific, upsetting incidents of my life. Right, 45 years, and it was just the worst thing. And then having to relive it today, I am super hyper aware of the road. Right, and I'm leaving 2 second gap at least in front. I'm doing everything right. And all distractions are gone. My previous car was just full of junk, CDs everywhere, nothing. The phone even goes, there's a really handy, not that I was a phone user when I was driving, but there's in this new thing, there's an armrest, and you lift up the armrest and there's a little tray, but then you lift up the tray and there's like a box. Phone goes in the box, close the little tray, close the armrest. I am super focused, right? And everybody tonight was just driving like a dick. Everybody was... Is that cool for me? Is that... Yeah, it's brilliant. Thank you. Everybody was just driving like an idiot. Lorries. That lorry that tried to just get into my lane when I was right up beside it without indicating, and then did the same to you.
Yeah.
Someone in a big Land Rover driving in the bus lane and then just pulling out in front of me. A woman, a car had broken down in the lane by Euston Station. So I indicated to pull out. A woman stopped, or a car stopped to the left. So I assumed that I was to pull out. So I pulled out and then I got the beeps. And that really shook me up. I must admit, that getting the beep like that, just, flipping out after, you know what I've been through today. After that, just, it was awful. And then coming into this building, which we're leaving at the end of May, I've been told today. And because the guy who works in the building next door is an A-man, he's an A-man with a tiny little willy who just wants to leave his mark because someone once parked in his car parking space. So he's put these barriers, right? These metal barriers that you kind of, the ones that you can kind of raise up and then lock, right? So you could, when they're down, you can drive over them. But if you want to block a parking space because someone once parked in his parking space, so he put loads of pallets on my car. Pallets. He's installed these things, right? So I've got this new car and I'm trying to get into a parking space and I drove over one of these metal poles and that popped it up. And suddenly my car won't move. Now, we've seen one of the two Mikes. Was it Graham?
Yes.
Mike Graham did that, and it ripped a massive hole. And he's got, like, a big car, like a Land Rover or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, it went through his fuel tank.
It went through the fuel tank. You're absolutely right. Ripped a hole in it. So I'm suddenly on this thing, and I could hear it. I went, oh, man. And as I went forward, I could feel my car, which is quite a big car now, lifting up. And then I'm going back and I'm hearing scraping metal. And I came out, I was going, oh, no. And you very kindly and very calmly took me off the ledge and kind of got me to shuffle forward a bit and then shuffle back and then turn it and then shuffle. And we got out.
Yeah.
But what a journey. When is Elon Musk going to create his hyperlink tubes that we just sit in and we get fired at 500 miles an hour? Because people can't drive.
And the other thing is, if you do leave the appropriate stopping distance, people nip in the middle.
People will fill in.
Yeah.
And you do 37 on a 40, getting flashed.
Yeah.
You do 48 on a 50, you're getting people right up your backside. What?
I know.
What is this, guys?
I know.
What is this?
It's terrifying.
It is terrifying. Do you know what? Maybe in the past, I've not been the greatest of drivers.
I've never been a tailgater and a flasher, though. That takes a special kind of idiot.
No, never. But, you know, guys, I've been honest about this. I've had a couple of speeding things in my time, and I've had a couple of little nicks and knocks in my time. Again, I've got to say, this crash last week wasn't my fault. People going into the back of me. But I've not been the greatest driver. Man alive, man. Lives are at risk here. I'm only just realising it at 45. What an idiot, I know. But lives are at risk.
My sister got pushed along the motorway once by a guy who wanted to get past her. He actually touched the back of her car. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Is it worth it? What's that for?
0344 499 1000. Let's go to Suleiman. Good evening, Suleiman.
How you doing, Ian? You all right, mate?
All right, thank you, Suleiman. What you got for us?
Well, let's start by saying first time caller, long time listener.
There we go. This is what it's all about, man. This is what it's all about.
So you asked us to call in about the Neverland documentary.
Yeah, go on.
The Michael Jackson thing. So I've actually seen all of it. I know it's being shown here in the UK,
yeah,
but it's already been leaked on the internet.
I thought it might have been, because it was shown in the... Was it shown in the States this week or last week or something?
It was Sunday.
Okay, yeah, so you'd have got it on a streaming site or something.
Yeah. So I was really interested because the hype around this was so crazy that, I just thought, right, I don't want to wait until the end of the week. Let me just get on it right away.
I've got to have some of this.
So I'm watching this documentary, sitting down, thinking, right, there's going to be a gotcha moment. There must be a bombshell, something brand new in this documentary,
yes,
that is actually going to convince everybody, yeah, and that's why there's so much hype.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there watching it, and I'm not just saying this as a Michael Jackson fan, because I am one of those guys that if there is something serious, because child abuse is a very serious topic. If there is something serious, you know what? I am one of those where I'm going to start questioning,
yeah,
my loyalties. And that's not a bad thing to say, because, child abuse is so serious. So I went in there with an open mind. But what I'm realizing about 30 minutes in, that this documentary is not going to provide me with any evidence that Michael Jackson's done anything wrong.
So there was no bombshell for you?
100% there is.
Okay, because I've only seen the first 50 minutes. Did you not think, when no, the young...
Sorry, let me speak.
Did you not think, when the guy said that Michael Jackson taught him how to masturbate, that wasn't a bombshell for you?
No, no, it's not a bombshell.
When the guy said that Michael Jackson liked him to bend over and pull his buttocks apart so he could masturbate, that wasn't a bombshell for you?
All of the graphic content and all of the graphic stuff...
That wasn't a bombshell for you?
No, that's not evidence. There's no evidence of that. That's a testimony that these two guys are giving.
So why don't you believe... Why would that guy make up a thing about Michael Jackson wanting to masturbate over his buttocks?
Okay, mate, I'll tell you, definitely. But what I was leading to is when I realised that there's no...
No, just answer the question, Suleiman.
I'm going to, man.
Please, I'm asking you a question. So listen, why do you not believe what the man said about that Michael Jackson sexually abusing him?
Okay, so Wade Robson is one of the individuals that you're talking about. And the reason I don't believe him is because of his character beforehand and the timeline of the things that he's done beforehand.
Go on, things like
that he was trying to sell a book.
Yep.
Things like when he wanted to work with the Michael Jackson estate.
Yeah.
This is on the Michael Jackson Cirque du Soleil show. And he goes, "Look, please, can I work with you guys? I've got an idea for the show. This, that, and the other." In 2012, they declined his services, and there was quite a bit of a rift between those two. And then in 2013, suddenly something came out. So it's almost like it was a how can I say, a revenge sort of plot.
So you're saying, just to clarify, Suleiman, you're saying that the victims, that the people who are claiming they were raped by Michael Jackson, they're doing it because they didn't get to work on a Cirque du Soleil Michael Jackson show, so it's a revenge.
Nope.
Is there anything else? You're a Michael Jackson impersonator, aren't you? You're a tribute act.
Oh, no, no, yeah, of course. No, we did a tribute as well.
Right, yeah, and you so didn't
that's
think...
That's not a bias, though. It's,
you
it's
didn't... Well, no, hang on, Suleiman. You didn't think...
I'm not getting a fair shake here.
We've got until one o'clock. You're going to get a fair shake. I just want to clarify, you didn't think it might be relevant... To declare, first things first, that you're a Michael Jackson tribute act and that you could possibly be losing work because of this.
First of all, absolutely not. Now, I have to...
No, you got to answer the question. You didn't think it was important to mention that and that you might lose money from it?
No.
You don't see that as bias?
Can I please, Ian?
Please answer the question. Do you see that as bias?
The answer is no. Okay. The answer is no. And I'll tell you why. Can I tell you why?
Yeah, of course you can.
That's not what I do as a main thing.
That's what your Twitter page is.
No, I know, and I know, and that's why I wasn't hiding it, because I actually tweeted.
You didn't mention it.
No, I tweeted that to Catherine.
I'm not Catherine, and you didn't mention it. I just think it's interesting that you didn't want to mention you're a Michael Jackson tribute act the first thing first. But carry on. So you don't think these kids were raped by him?
The reason I didn't mention that is because I didn't think that was going to be relevant. You're defending the man
you impersonate from sexual abuse.
It's relevant.
You are defending the man that you do a tribute act to. That's relevant.
And it's not defending him because I'm going to earn money. I don't earn money from that as such. That's not really earning money. That's more to do with.
So you do it for free.
Legacy.
You do it for free.
We do a lot of shows for free. We almost do like 50% to 70% shows for free.
Well, hang on.
Only because I enjoy it.
Okay. So you do 50% of the shows for free. So you do for 50% of the shows you get paid. Okay, I just think that is relevant, but go on.
Yeah, but I'm not going to... It's not like... Okay, so I'll give you an example. If Michael Jackson was found guilty or something happened, it's not like I would lose money and I would lose a living because I do
what
other things.
What would it take for you to believe? You want hard evidence, like a video of him raping a child. That's what you want to prove, don't you?
You saw the R. Kelly documentary, right? In the R. Kelly documentary, that documentary was done in a non-biased way. We heard from both sides. We heard from the R. Kelly side of people, and we heard from the victims as well, the alleged victims or the victims. And then we drew our own conclusions. And
no, the R. Kelly, the R. Kelly.
In this documentary, there was no time given to the.
All of the R. Kelly people were saying, apart from his brother who's in prison, I think. We're pretty much saying that he'd done it. So, yeah, it did kind of follow one narrative, one tone, yeah.
No, hold on. They weren't saying that he'd done it.
They were saying there were suspicions
to him that he had done it.
Is it normal?
There's a video out there, by the way. In terms of R. Kelly, there is actually a video out there.
Is it normal? So you want a video? You know not many paedophiles film themselves raping children. You know that, don't you?
I'm aware of that.
Okay.
And I'm not saying I want a video. I'm just saying that we needed some sort of hardcore evidence.
For example,
And because there is no
for example,
proof at the moment, it's just a testimony.
For example.
Can I ask you this? Are we
for example,
to just believe testimonies?
What do you think about Jimmy Savile? Is Jimmy Savile a rapist, child rapist?
Jimmy Savile? I don't know much about Jimmy Savile, to be honest.
Okay. Jimmy Savile posthumously
been accused,
was, you know, it's now accepted knowledge that Jimmy Savile raped children. There is no hard evidence to support that. There is just the testimony of his victims.
Yes.
Were they giving testimony for revenge or to make money?
I'm going to be honest. I don't know much about Jimmy Savile, the person or the case.
Oh, I can tell you everything. I can tell you everything. I can tell you everything. After he died, after he died, a handful of people came forward, primarily women, but some men. A handful of people came forward and said they had been molested and raped by Jimmy Savile. Lots and lots of people were very, very quick to jump to Jimmy Savile's defence. He'd raised millions for charity and all of that. And then more and more people came forward, and it's now accepted knowledge Jimmy Savile was a monster of a human being. But there is no there's none of the hard evidence that you'd require to find Jackson guilty. There is no video. There is no audio recordings.
Because Michael Jackson had his time in court and he was found not guilty.
In a civil court, he paid $100 million.
In a criminal court.
In a civil court, he paid $100 million. And I know exactly the argument you're going to put forward.
By the way, hold on a minute. That's not true. It was $23 million allegedly.
I apologise. I'm 77. I'm $77 million out. He paid, in a civil court, he paid $23 million.
And that was done on the behest and on the advice. The bad advice is Michael Jackson acknowledged later on, given to him by his lawyers, because he didn't know any better. He was being told, now you need to do this now, otherwise it's going to drag on for years and years and years. So it was all bad advice. But Michael Jackson had his time in court. He went through the due process, and he was found.
So did O.J. Simpson.
I don't know about James.
So did O.J. Simpson. O.J. Simpson got away with murder, literally. So it happens. If you're rich in America, you know American justice is bought. Yeah, you know that.
But that means
O.J. Simpson got away with murder.
I follow that case very, very closely. The 2004 case, and
you're just a casual fan.
You could tell. No, it's not that.
You started off saying you were a casual fan. Now we found out you're a tribute act and you followed the 2004 case of a man accused of paedophilia.
I'm a casual fan. I said I'm one of those fans that has an open mind. That's what I said.
But your mind is very, very closed. Your mind is very, very closed.
Dude,
here we go. I'm going to ask you the question. Open-minded. I'm 45, right?
Right.
What would you think of me as a 45-year-old man if I told you I slept in a bed with my next-door neighbour's 8-year-old kid? What would you think of me? My next-door neighbour's 8-year-old boy, I sleep in bed with him.
And that's a contentious point with Michael Jackson always, and that's always been the case.
I'm not asking about Jackson.
I'm asking about you.
Go on. What would you think of me?
I would look at the individual. Now, I'll tell you why. You put, on your radio station a couple of weeks ago or a month ago, you told us a story about you being on a trampoline with a child who was a strange kid and whose hand you held, and you started jumping up and down with him when you do that. Now, obviously, I know from listening to you...
There's a difference between jumping on a trampoline with a nervous autistic child...
I agree with you.
Suleiman. Gosh, I'm trying to have a conversation.
It.
Yeah. Okay. But here's the thing. People don't associate generally trampolines with sexual intercourse.
Beds are associated with sexual intercourse. But what I'm trying to say, I know some people that heard that in the car when I was driving, and they drew a negative conclusion. First of all, Suleiman, listen.
We've got until 1 o'clock, dude. Calm down. I'm calm. You should be calm, right? I don't believe what you just said. I don't think you were in a car and people. I think you just made that up.
I listen to you regularly. I'm a big fan.
I know you do. But I just think the thing,
Suleiman.
Calm down. I don't believe what you just said about people in the car making their own conclusion. I don't believe that. Right. But
Oh, no comment. I 100%.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
Because we've got it on our phone.
I'm a 45-year-old man.
Yes.
And I sleep in bed with the 8-year-old boy from next door.
Yes.
And when he's not around, I sleep in bed with the 12-year-old boy from the other side of the village. And when both of them aren't around, I sleep with the 14-year-old lad whose dad comes and cleans the windows. What would you think of me if that were the case?
I would question you. I would be like, why did you... I don't think that's appropriate.
You OK, but Michael Jackson does it with dozens of boys and...
Yep. So you have to look at the person.
Okay, so finish the sentence. Michael Jackson sleeps with dozens of boys, and you think...
Michael Jackson identified himself as a child, okay? Because he identified himself as a child, he thought... I'm not saying it's correct. I'm saying that he thought...
Here we go, Suleiman.
And also, you need to remember, back in the 80s, our times and our questioning of these types of behaviours, it wasn't
shamefully
as much
so.
As it is now.
Shamefully so. I was abused in the 80s. I wish my parents had asked more questions. Shamefully so. Shamefully, a lot of parents... Shamefully so. You can't say it was the culture. Hundreds, thousands of kids in this country alone were raped... were molested because we didn't ask questions. Let me tell you. I'm going to tell you a fact, right? I'm going to tell you the fact.
He did say later on, in 2004, he said it's been made aware to me that this is not something that I should
here's
be doing, and I will never
here's
put myself in a vulnerable situation
here's,
like that again.
Here's the thing. Right.
When
here's the thing.
That he started to understand.
Yeah, he got busted, and he shit himself. Here's the thing.
I don't think that's the case. I think really because you have to give it a benefit of the doubt.
Such an open mind. No, you don't. Suleiman, stop. I'm going to stop you there. No, you don't. You don't give these people the benefit of the doubt. You don't give people... No. You do not give 45-year-old men that sleep in bed with 8-year-old boys the benefit of the doubt. Let me tell you something, right?
Are you saying that...
Am I saying what?
So whoever does that is a sexual predator. And that's
yes. I'm telling you that if a 45-year-old man sleeps in bed with an 8-year-old boy that isn't one of their sons, then they're a sexual predator. It is wrong. It is completely out of order. It should not happen. And everyone knows that. You don't get told in 2004, hey, by the way, you know you're a grown man. Well, having 8-year-old boys in your bed may not look good. You don't know that. You know it. You know it. He was a multi-millionaire pop star.
He was a grown man, but mentally he wasn't grown.
He was a grown man in bed with little boys.
And that means he had...
And you're defending that, Suleiman.
And that means he had...
Yes. It means he was inappropriate. At the very, very least, he was inappropriate. And you know what?
I just ask you what you mean by inappropriate, like in a sexual way, or just the fact that it's an act that he's done.
Having 8-year-old boys in your bed as a grown man is inappropriate. If you need me to explain the word inappropriate, then you're an idiot.
That's what I was saying, that in this day and age, I understand.
Suleiman, in the 80s, it was inappropriate. You know, 8-year-old boys in your bed as a 45-year-old man. Are you nuts?
Okay, do you know when I was a kid, and I'm sure you remember this as well, when you went to the mall, to the shopping centre, and you met Santa Claus, we could sit on his lap.
I didn't get in bed with him. Yeah. I didn't bend over and pull my cheeks apart so he could masturbate.
My nephew went last year, and he had to sit on a stool and laugh. Why is he not on his lap?
Jesus, he's equating people not being able to sit on Father Christmas's knee with being raped by a monster.
Meaning that in this day and age, our suspicions... And our...
Yeah, we got it wrong in the 80s, Suleiman. We got it wrong. We should have been there for all of the kids that were molested and raped and shamefully... No, I won't, Suleiman. I won't. Please. Because you're equating the rape of children, of little boys, with having to sit on a stool to see Father Christmas. You're an idiot. You're not open-minded. You're an idiot and you're defending a paedophile.
Oh, so Michael is a paedophile. So there's no open discussion here. There's no fair discussion.
I cannot see
Okay.
Why?
So why did you start by saying, I'll give you a fair share?
Because you've had a fair hearing, but you're talking such atrocious...
You're talking such atrocious offensive... Here's the thing, right?
Yes. When someone says they have been raped, when someone says what those gentlemen were saying, and I've not seen the whole thing, and I'm going to watch the whole thing.
Well, I don't think you need to, because you've already made up your mind. So
please don't tell me. Please don't tell me what I think and what I need to do. Okay, I make my own decisions. Okay.
You've just told us that you think Michael Jackson's a paedophile. So what's the point of watching?
I've thought it for a long time. To be honest. Here's the thing, right?
But that's one thing. You don't need to watch the documentary. That's what they're trying to establish.
Okay, please don't tell me what to do, Suleiman. I'm not going to take advice from a Michael Jackson Tribute Act in 2019. Here's the thing. I believe them. When someone sits there and looks straight at the camera and tells me what those brave young men told me, allegedly. I believe them because I don't think anyone would say that stuff for $100 million. I don't think anyone would say that stuff because they didn't get to work with Cirque du Soleil. I don't think anyone would say that stuff just to be on the telly. I believe people when they claim stuff like that.
I'm happy. You know what? That's a good thing that you have that about you, and that I respect that. That you feel that people are like that, which they would not lie. And I respect that, and I wish everybody was like this. But in the case of these two gentlemen, or these two alleged victims, their character is very questionable, and that's what I was trying to get at with the documentary.
Where is the questionable characters? I saw two young men who were two boys who were sucked in by, at the very, very least, someone who is completely inappropriate and a weirdo, and at worst, is a child rapist.
So you're asking where the inappropriate stuff is, their character.
Instead of me telling you,
I think the best thing is just go to mjinnocent.com.
No, I'm not going to go to a bias. I'm not going to go to a bias website. I'm not going to go to a bias. And now you're going to say, oh, but in the past they said
documentary.
They said they weren't victims and all of that. You give me all that.
I actually haven't brought that up once.
No, but you're sitting on it. That's your little grenade you can chuck in any moment.
Now you're telling me about what I was going to say. I wasn't going to say that because I do understand that child abuse victims can... it's not repressed memory, but they can just sometimes keep it in. So I'm not even bringing that up because I don't need
they
to bring that up.
Sometimes keep it in. Here's the thing. Yeah, I hope you...
I'm not an expert on child abuse.
No. What's normal for 45-year-old men to do with little boys?
Some people are trying to do certain things for money. Surely you must understand that not everybody is an angel, right? So therefore, why is it that you're...
I understand that, Suleiman. You don't seem to understand that. You think just because a guy...
I'm willing to believe anything if you give me some evidence, if you give me some proof.
You think just because a guy sang a song called Ben, A Man in the Mirror, that he couldn't be a paedophile. I just think you need to have a look. I really, really hope... Don't make jokes, mate. It's not funny. Don't make jokes, mate.
My life, I swear to God, I don't understand what you're both talking about.
This is not a thing to joke about.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Last hour of the show, dear listener, 0344 499 1000. I have absolutely no idea why the newsreader sounds like he's doing it from a bucket. I have no idea what's going on. They're in the new studio. We're in the old one. They're in the new one. And we sound better than them. That's 20 million quid wasted. That's how the show is going to sound. 0344 499 1000 for the first... I'm a bit bunged up. For the first time this evening, the switchboard is empty, dear listener, so you can give us a call. We've talked about Michael Jackson. I'm a little bit bored of talking about Michael Jackson. You know, I just think that we're living in a very strange, weird, toxic time that's just fueled by self-serving idiots, both on the right and the left, primarily on the right, but there are some on the left as well. And these are dark days. These are dark days, guys. So let's celebrate life. Let's celebrate. I saw you know where I live now. Right?
I'm aware of the place. Yes.
And you know we went to a little village nearby, and we went and sat down in the chippy.
Yes.
Just up the road from there, there's a posh cheese shop. All they sell is posh cheeses. Ooh. Just up the road. I got my sat nav. Here's the thing: so I got a car, right, and the car is 4 years old, I think, right. And it's got a built-in sat nav, and I've always used my telephone as a I used to have a TomTom, but then for the last few years I've been using my telephone as a sat nav, and then this one's got a built-in sat nav, so I've been using that. You just get in, it's got a nice big screen, you type in where you're going, bishy bashy boshy, you're off. But here's the thing, right? It took me a couple of times. It's quite often, if I know I'm going somewhere tomorrow, I'll be in bed and I'll just check on my phone on Google Maps. What time is it? How long is it going to take? What time? Okay, I'll add a little bit longer because it'll be traffic. Blah, blah, blah. And quite often, I've got in my car and typed it in twice. And the car sat nav, the internal car sat nav, has like added about 15 minutes on the journey.
Right.
I used it to get to the crematorium today, and I thought, this is longer than my phone was saying it was, and it's taken me quite a peculiar way, which is why I saw the cheese shop, because it took me a strange way around Wendover. And I think the sat nav in my car is out of date. Can I update it?
I think you can.
How do I update the sat nav in my car, and is it going to cost me hundreds of
pounds? Have you got a CD player?
Yes, I have, mate.
I think there might be is it a disc update?
You haven't got a clue, have you? Also, I've got a CD player, right? And I noticed next to the CD player on the left, there's the eject button, and on the right, there's like a little sort of logo thing. And I was pushing the logo thing, so it looked like a button, and it wasn't, but I was fingering it, and I could pull the little logo thing off, right? And there were some secret buttons behind the little logo thing.
Check to see.
I don't know what this car. Cars are insane at the moment. Cars are insane.
Why don't you Google it?
I could read the book.
Yeah, Google it.
I could read the book. Let's go to. Is it Manjit?
That's right. Yeah.
Hey, Manjit.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm a first-time caller.
Well, welcome. It's the first time that is. You're a first-time caller. It's the first time I've spoken to you. It's the first time, Catherine, you've spoken to me.
I believe so. Yeah.
Well, then this is a first for all
time.
Of us. These are happy days.
Can I just say, I've only just in the last couple of weeks started listening to talk radio, and I've been listening to the shows during the day, and then I've listened to your show in the evening, and you're absolutely hilarious. I absolutely adore you. I think you're amazing.
Do you know what I'm going to say? Even though it's probably inappropriate, we adore you. Manjit, we adore you, and I'm glad you found us, because let's be honest, we could do with every listener that we get. It's a little bit lonely here at night times.
Oh,
Matthew Wright's got a load of listeners, because they all want to hear about his baby and about his weird eye makeup and his wig. But we are lonely and sad. So it's nice to have you on board, Manjit. What have you called in for?
You just mentioned the Michael Jackson.
Yes.
I just finished watching came yesterday and today.
Yeah, go on, what'd you make
of
it?
Both of them. And you know, I'm talking as a fan from, you know, the 80s. I've been a fan of his since the beginning.
Back in the day.
And so I went to watch the documentary as, you know, I didn't want to be kind of biased and think, okay, I'm a fan, I'm not going to believe it. I watched it and I don't actually believe the stories they told, the two guys. I don't know what it is. I just feel like they conspired together.
Okay.
And
why? Why would they conspire?
I don't know. It doesn't seem convincing to me, and that's just me personally, how I feel watching it. And
why? Yeah, okay, let's try and look at it. Because do you know what? I haven't seen all of it. I'm going to be honest. I saw the first 50 minutes yesterday, then we had to come and do the show.
Mm.
And we watched a bit of the first 50 minutes today, but it was kind of in the background. So I'm gonna give it the respect I think it deserves and watch it properly again next week when I can sit down and focus on it, right?
Yeah.
But what I saw, I was convinced by them. Which is odd, because we're both coming at this from completely different directions. So and this is a tough question, because if it were asked to me, I would struggle, but I'll try and answer it in a minute. Can you put your finger on, probably an inappropriate phrase, can you pinpoint anything about them or what they said or how they said it that made you disbelieve them?
It's just, you know, where they were both, or Wade Robson was brought to defend him in court.
Yeah.
And, you know, he defended him. And he was an adult then. He could have spoken up and, you know, he defended and said nothing was, you know, nothing inappropriate happened to him. And then it's just like, after he died, Mark Jackson died, it's like they've thought, hang on, we could cash in here. I mean, this is probably, obviously me, just this is how I'm looking at it.
Yeah.
They're trying to get money from the estate, from Netherlands.
Yeah.
You know, I...
Because they won't be paid... OK, because I've got a couple of possible answers to this. And by the way, it's nice to have a rational conversation about this. So thank you. I appreciate it. Cause, thank you. Because they weren't, as far as I'm aware, they weren't paid to be in this documentary.
I know the documentary, they didn't get paid. They didn't get paid for that.
And someone today said, well, there must be easier ways to make money than going on a film that's going to be seen around the world, a film that you know is going to create a significant backlash against you, and making up really intimate, physical, embarrassing, sexual claims. There's got to be easier ways to make money. And also, I'm guessing that you are you're not a victim of abuse.
No, I'm not. Okay. No, obviously, I wouldn't know how somebody feels. Yeah. That's the thing.
I am. Right, on a significantly smaller scale than what they went through, but I am.
Yeah.
And okay. I didn't talk. I used to joke about it and make light about it, and I didn't come out and say this is what had happened until after the bloke that did it had died.
Okay.
Because partly because he was very old when he did it anyway, although there were still some family members around. And partly because I just didn't feel, wasn't necessarily waiting for him to die. In fact, I wish I could have confronted him, actually. But I just didn't feel ready until like 25 years after it happened to kind of come out and own it. Because of the shame and because I hadn't told my mum and I didn't want my mum to find out. And so all of that. So I can understand why they would wait until someone had died. And I can also understand they were in love with him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're completely...
They were in love with him. So I can understand... I can understand why they would defend him in court. I mean, when... Did they defend... Because I've not seen this, but again, I've read this bit. Did they defend him when they were kids as well? Wasn't there a bit where he said... He said, if you have to say this hasn't happened because we will both go to prison if people find out about this.
I think it's when the Geordie Chandler case came forward and then they tried to bring on board Wade and the other guy to kind of defend him when they were young kids.
Yeah.
And obviously when Wade Robson came to court when he was an adult, the other guy, I can't remember his name, but he didn't want to come forward, and that's when he kind of broke down and confessed what happened to him.
Because we do think that when it happens to you as a kid, okay, fine, but then when you're 25, 35, that it must be easier to talk about. And it isn't always. That's why a lot of Savile's victims didn't speak up for 50 years. Some of them didn't speak up for 50 years.
Also, you've got to remember, they'd lied to their mums about it.
Yeah.
And their mum had also been quite taken with Michael Jackson as well. I feel like the boys weren't the only ones that were groomed. The mum, mums were charmed as well, weren't they?
Yeah, they were saying like the parents were, you know, lavish with gifts and, you know, lovely hotels and whatnot. But I don't know, I'm not genuinely saying it because I'm a fan of Michael Jackson. I've watched it as with an open mind, and I just watched it, and I didn't feel convinced. I don't know what it is. I just don't feel convinced by, and you know, because I don't understand what they've been through, and kind of hard.
I do believe them, but hang on to your gut feeling. If that's your gut feeling, then you have to go with it.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
03444991000. Let's go to Andrew. Good evening, Andrew.
Oh, it's not. It's Dreamweaver.
Okay, hello? Dreamweaver. Yes, hello.
Hello. No, I went to James Whale using the name Andrew, once. Because
why would you do that? Why would you betray Why would you betray your true identity?
Come on, James Whale would not understand someone called Dreamweaver.
No, he did. He spoke to me once, but it was about a subject when I was in Winchester Prison last year, and it was about this spice oil and about people attacking people, and I didn't want to be giving my name out because a lot of people knew me in Winchester Prison. So.
Okay, well, you've just kind of... Well, okay, come out. Well, okay. Okay, well, you've just told everyone now.
I don't mind now. It's
okay,
gone past.
Now it's gone. Now it's gone past. It's gone by.
It's in the past. I'm in the present now.
Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. Dreamweaver's on the radio.
But seriously, if you'd have gone to James Whale saying your name was Dreamweaver, you'd have had 10 minutes on why your name was Dreamweaver.
Yes.
He did ask it the first time. Yeah, yes.
It's
I like James Whale.
It's an unusual name. It's a strange... unusual name, and people are interested.
It took a long time to take on that, but it's on now, and my original name was Andrew.
I can see why you changed it. imagine a baby Andrew now.
I know.
Baby Andrew, baby Alan. Well, I had one of my Japanese teachers married a Scotsman, and they had a baby, and it was baby Alan. Baby Alan. I mean,
great baby.
Great baby. What you got for us, Dreams?
Well, I wanted to talk about one subject, but I wanted to say television can make or break a president, can't it? It's the Michael Jackson thing. It's all, yeah. I don't watch it. I don't watch television, so it's very difficult.
What do you mean make or break a president? What does that mean?
Well, just, I mean, with the television, they can put on there what they want, and they can, if you've got the right producer, it can be pointed in the right direction to say, that's what I want to say. You know?
Well, that's what television is.
But most people are now saying that Donald Trump's an idiot, and yet he's still the president, so...
I like hearing him talk, you know. I don't like what he says, but I like hearing him talk.
I like hearing him talk. Yeah, it's like your dotty old granddad, who's a little bit racist and can blow up the world.
Yeah.
I like hearing him talk. I think he's got a nice voice. I got the nicest voice. The things I say, the best things. I say the best things. That's not bad. I say the best things. You know, I got the biggest balls. You know, my balls. They're the biggest balls. I've got the best sperm.
Have you ever included impersonations on your stand-up when you used to do it?
Yeah, I still do. My latest DVD is I would say it's about 60% impressions, which for me, I mean, this is DVD number 5, Live at Jongleurs. 60% impressions, and it's the direction I'm going in. It's
called Ian Lee. This is me.
Yeah, and it's the direction I'm going in. Yeah, I just haven't quite got the bravery to just dive into it 100%. And maybe I just need to go for it, Dreams.
Give us a few. Give us your Sean Connery.
This is Sean Connery, and I would like to say that I was James Bond. James Bond.
Now Terry Wogan.
You're so inspiring. It's so inspiring.
It's inspiring.
I bring a lot of what you guys say and do into my life. It's
gospel. You should take it as gospel.
Oh, hello, there's Terry Wogan.
And today
I need to come and see you guys in Brighton. That's what I need to do.
Well, you need to buy tickets because there's only 10 tickets left, and once they're gone, they're gone.
I'll be on the site tomorrow then.
You've got to do it. You've got to do it, Dreams. If you do it, we're going to make you part of the show.
It's the travelling because of autism and everything. And I'll try and find somebody that will drive me there, or I'll get on the train. And,
Do you not live in Brighton then?
No, Petersfield.
Where is the... does Peter mind? Hang on. Does Peter mind that you live in his field?
No.
Is he okay with that? Peter's okay?
I live right in the centre of his field. No. He's got a big church next to me as well.
Is it now? Here's what I like. I like people that move into villages near churches and then complain about the noise of the church bells and then
so
get them
loud.
Stopped. Those people... Good. Complain. Complain. Is your right, as someone who moves near a church, is your right to get those bells stopped? And you should do. How dare they?
Well, I'm moving anyway. I'm moving in the next month, so...
Next to a mosque?
Next to a monastery, in fact.
Oh, those monks. It's not the Buckfast Monastery, is it?
No, it's not. It's in Hampshire.
Okay.
I think it's a Buddhist.
So not proper monks.
Yeah.
Not proper.
Yeah, no actual proper monks.
Proper English.
They're the best monks.
Money.
I got beef with the Shaolin monks. They get right. They seriously injured me once by dropping me on a bed of nails instead of lowering me on it gently. And I've got very little time for the Shaolin monks. And I will say that to their face. I will kick off. I will get my nunchucks out, and I will teach them how to walk on rice paper grasshopper.
And they'll bring out the whirling dervishes.
I don't think that's a Shaolin. I stayed in a Buddhist youth hostel 10 years ago. So when I was an adult, and I stayed in a Buddhist youth hostel in Japan. And I was thinking, do you know what? It was only for a couple of nights because we wanted to go to this tiny little village where a big festival was on and all the hotels were booked up. So we stayed there for like 3 nights. And it was awful, actually. It was a youth hostel. Dear God, it was awful. But I thought, it'd be nice because I wouldn't mind talking to the monks about it and stuff. But all there was one American monk called Woody. Really miserable. And I just wanted to chat to him about, you know, giving up your life and becoming a monk and stuff and Buddhism. And he just didn't want to talk about it.
I met a Buddhist monk once, miserable and he was git. Like the most serene, yeah. contented person I'd ever
miserable.
Oh.
I bet he was miserable.
Lovely.
Yeah,
lovely.
I bet he was miserable.
The universe provides.
Yeah, I bet he's grumpy.
No, he wasn't. He was
They're
nice.
Not that approachable, really. No.
This guy was.
Was he? Oh, that's good. Because yeah. I get some in town every Friday, and they stand there, and you smile at them, and they don't really give you any eye contact or anything. I find that quite strange. But
yeah, I'm not a fan of. I'm not a fan of the Shaolin or the Buddhist monks, and I can't. Let's just say, once this Jackson thing dies over, I think the next target for this show is going to be monks of all denominaciones, apart from the English ones. I like those guys. Those guys are great.
I love it. You play your relaxing music in the background anyway, your Peruvian flute and all that, I think it was. And I want to stop. You're in therapy.
Sorry?
Quickly.
Hang on a minute. I'm in therapy or piss therapy.
No, you're drinking urine.
Oh, my God.
You were speaking last night and I thought, ooh.
I've tried that.
I've been doing that for 4 years now.
And look, you're completely normal. Dreamweaver.
You know, I put it on my skin and I do all
the, what's wrong with a bit of soap? What's wrong with a bit of palm olive?
Well, it's got palm oil in it.
Okay,
yeah,
palm oil.
Yeah,
palm
get away
oil.
From all that stuff. Yeah, yeah. But I make my own soaps anyway. So.
Out of wee?
I hope. Sorry? They're not brown, are they?
No. olive.
Best soap ever was the soap you get that when you wash your hands it made you go black because it was like joke soap. As the remember the joke soap?
Yes, I
and
do.
And the thing is, right, as a kid, you get the joke soap, and then you go, Dad, do you want to go upstairs and wash your hands? No. Yeah, no, Dad, you should go upstairs. It's 3:30 in the afternoon. Yeah, just go upstairs and wash your hands, but don't use the normal soap. There's a new soap up there. Just, right. My hands have gone all black. Oh, did you do this? Yeah, go you, Dad! Go you, Dad!
That's early Ashton Kutcher punked.
Got you, Dad! Got your black hands, Dad!
So anyway, Wee-Wee, you've been wiping your face with it?
I do it on my face. I do it on my whole body, in fact. My feet and everything.
You don't wipe your... You say your whole body. Do you wipe your taint with it?
Oh, God.
No, I don't think this is necessary.
No, that's unnecessary. That's unnecessary. The rest of it is necessary.
Definitely, you know, okay. That's why I look so young and virile.
and stink of piss.
Is there a smell when you warm up?
Sorry?
Is there a smell when you warm up?
No, I get rid of the first little bit in the morning, and then I catch the middle bit and then throw the second part away, so I use that, and then I do the same in the afternoon. But it comes out clear. It's like water, anyway. There's no real yellow in that at all.
What does it taste of?
I don't know. I kind of blank that out. But it feels like it definitely does me good. I couldn't do without it now.
He's an addict.
But it's, you know, I did it in prison, and they tried to stop me for 6 weeks, and...
It is your right! As a human... Being, yeah, is your excretions. Yeah, you should be. This is Grayling. This is another Grayling thing when he was in charge of prison. It's your right to reabsorb your excretions back into your body. It's your right. No man can stop another man from drinking his own pee pee.
What's wrong with a nice cup of tea?
Pee in it.
I love it. But it's the first thing in the morning. Just my skin's tight.
Bit of brown sugar.
I do it on my hair. It's great for conditioning. And my dreadlocks, anyway. Yeah.
Dreadlocks, of course. Yeah.
You must have a good aim.
There's no smell. Yeah. Oh, my hair.
I mean, you say there's no smell, but maybe you got used to it.
Is that like dog owners who say, "Well, my house doesn't smell of dog," and you go in and go, "Whoa, it's a bit ripe." Every dog. Listen, if you got a dog, your house smells of dog. You think it doesn't. It does, trust me. And maybe it's the same with the old urine therapy.
Yes. Well, most men and women who use moisturisers, things like that, are using urine in that. So
yeah, but it's like
not
a,
neat.
It's a tiny, it's a face. Tiny, 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 tiny little percentage mixed in with cream.
Yes.
Do you ever mix yours in with cream?
No.
You know what I'm saying, Jelly Bean?
Oh, don't go there.
Because that stuff is supposed to be great for the skin. That stuff is supposed to be great. It is. Semen is supposed to be great for the skin. We know that, right? That's a fact. So do people, and Dreamweaver, maybe you're the person to do this, do gentlemen use their own?
Do they use their own? I haven't. But that guy that Catherine was talking about not so long ago, who injected it into his spine, was that? That was a bit,
injected semen into his spine. That was a true story. Yeah.
Yeah. That had negative consequences.
Yeah. Yeah.
Massively, didn't it? I mean, I couldn't imagine wanting to do that. I know people that have injected their own urine into them and
excuse me
in certain areas, but I don't see the point in that.
Well, hang on. Where are they inject? This is nuts. Where? Well, maybe that's where. Where are they injecting the urine?
Into the anus.
What?
I was going to make a joke about that, and I thought that was a stretch too far, but now you're telling me they put it in their anus?
What
for? Yeah. In the side of the anus, not anus hole, but into the buttock.
Yeah, into the anus hole. So into the buttock. Okay, right,
into
fine.
Into the buttock.
Why would that has got to be a terrible idea.
Well, they say, because with urine, what it does is it drags out loads of nutrients that you have in your body. It doesn't stay in your body long enough. And so what you do is you're losing a lot of the really powerful nutrients for you. So you put it back down again and you give it a second flush. And it just keeps going through and going through. And what I'd never flush it down the toilet. It's always going on to the allotment compost.
Never flush
somewhere
it.
Else.
That's a waste.
And,
you know. That's a waste. That's a waste of God's gift. Yeah. All right, Dreamweaver, you've given us some nightmares. 0344 499 1000. This is Talk Radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.